Amen. Good morning, all. I welcome you on this beautiful Sunday morning. A little chilly out there. The Broncos are playing at 11, so our numbers are a little bit light. We hope that those are joining us online. And everything that could go wrong technically this morning has gone wrong almost so far. Paya had a flat tire. All these things are going on. The lights have been... But you know, my mom and dad told me always, just give it... Give your 100%. Have you ever heard that? That doesn't apply to giving blood. Just keep that in mind. There's some places where it just isn't as applicable. The back of the bulletin, you are reminded of the Crop Walk fundraiser at Applebee's Bars on the 30th. Thank you, Paya, for clarifying that. Next Sunday, anything going on this week that we know of by way of calendar? Next Sunday is Peace with or Human Relations Offering. Is that right, Paya? Okay, so if you are able to give to that, please plan on that. I don't see anything else by way of announcements. Anything else that we need to be aware of? Not seeing anything else, if you will, stand, wave hello to one another, and James is going to lead us in our call to worship.
Call to worship. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Worship all holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over all the earth. The voice of God thunders over
frozen landscape and snow-packed streams.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. He makes Denver skip
like a calf and Aurora like a young wild ox.
Is that Psalm 29?
Yeah, well, adapted.
Adapted. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord causes the evergreens to whirl and strips the forest bare. The voice of the Lord breaks ice-jammed rivers
and thaws frozen gutters and frozen hearts.
The Lord sits enthroned over the world. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Please continue to stand as we sing our opening hymn, We Three Kings. Hymnal 254.
Gold I bring to crown him again.
Go ahead and be seated. First scripture reading comes from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7, can be found in the Pew Bible, page 631. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west, I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed made. Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you to James for jumping in. Rich Schneer, liturgist for the month, and he got tied up at his other family, St. Luke's. You know, we share him. Not always willingly, but we share him, and so we're grateful that he is there. By way of prayer concerns, Sandy, do you want to give us an update on Don? Wait for the microphone, Michael. And I'm kind of hitting you without any warning, but we're praying and praying.
Well, Don has now moved to, I can't even remember the name of the place, but we're just so bewildered by all this, but we still need your prayers. And I would like to say that the Women's Society will meet Saturday at 10 o'clock.
Okay, a Woman of Faith this coming Saturday.
He's in assisted care.
Assisted care, yeah. If you were not aware, he suffered a stroke on his left side, so.
OK.
Okay, an update. I asked for prayers for my friend's son, Kevin, who had blood clots in his heart. He was in the hospital for at least a week, but he's now home and he's recovering, and they were able to take care of the problem. So please continue prayers, though. He has a checkup in a few weeks, so let's pray that that continues. Okay. And then my granddaughter, who I asked prayers for last week with a high fever, after I asked prayers in church, her fever broke. She ended up on antibiotics on Monday for ear infections, but her fever broke on Sunday. But I give prayers the glory. She gives Band-Aids. She found the Band-Aids and cured herself. So thank you for your prayers on both counts.
Okay, thank you, Rilla. Others? Michael Carol Danielson?
Ever since I picked my daughter up and her husband coming back from Tucson, my daughter was sicker than a dog. Fortunately, I gave her a mask and set her in front of the car and let Jeff drive. And so finally, they put her on antibiotics. And now that she's recovering, her husband, Jeff, is very sick with it. And with his, he's had a kidney transplant. He's always hard to get over things. So prayers for them. Amy and Jeff.
Miss Paya.
Since everyone's updating, I just wanted to update you folks on my daughter, Amelia. She's in the back of the bulletin. She's been there for a few weeks now. I want to thank each and every one of you who are here, who are not here, for your prayers. She got her result, and it's in the back of the bulletin. She just needs to take a pill for the rest of her life, but she'll be okay to live a regular life as it could be. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Paya. Amazing that we have medicine so that we can deal with that and help her. I don't want to shorten our time of prayer. We have got to acknowledge the fires in California. 120,000 people displaced. I can't quite get my mind around that. That's more than the population of Arvada. Huge, huge number of people, and all of those, so housing and placement and resources and prayers for the firefighters and the emergency responders, and things have not eased. I have not heard a report this morning, but last night the winds were still causing lots and lots of danger. We are aware of the trauma, having experienced major fires here in Colorado as well. So for some of us that is renewing some of that trauma. But at least we understand, and I am sure that the United Methodist Church has a UM Corps number, so if you can give, there are gonna be lots of organizations popping up and saying, give to our organization to help. All I can tell you is I know UM Corps gets the money to where it belongs, so give and give generously. We are right now able to do that, and so, all right, enough of that sermon. All right. Others, other concerns? Okay. Seeing none, what about celebrations? Is celebration? Rich Deer made it. His other family allowed him to depart and come over and join us. So, Rich, glad to have you here this morning. Others, concern or celebrations, special things that we want to lift and celebrate? Holly Armstrong, please.
Peter had emailed me and asked me to share how much we collected from Noisy Sunday last week, $127. So thank you, everybody, for supporting our young people, our VBS. Most of it will go to VBS for the summer. So thank you so much.
Amen, amen. Stephanie's back there rubbing her hands together and just smiling gleefully. We do a vivacious vacation Bible school. Wayne, did you know that Kelly has a birthday coming up on Monday?
Yes.
I have.
I'm not going to speak to the mic.
Okay. I have down here that he is going to be 58. Is that a true statement, Wayne, to the best of your knowledge?
No comment.
No comment, all right. So Kelly, and we haven't seen him in a while. Let's say a prayer that we hope that Kelly gets in here and makes it in. I have down here that Joe and Debbie, that Carson has a birthday on Wednesday. Is that true?
Oops. He's nodding his head yes.
Yes, okay, Carson's gonna be 9. Man, I can't believe it. I remember he was just, you know, he was just in situ not so long ago. We have down here Ruby Freeman's having a birthday on Friday. I do not have a number of years, but she's got to be at least 21.
She's not here today.
I don't see her, but happy birthday to her. Other birthdays, I do not have any anniversaries on record. I guess January's not a big wedding month, is it? Others, any other prayers? All right, seeing none, let's turn to our call to worship as you see it printed, or our unison prayer. As you see it printed in your bulletin, let us read in unison. God of grace and glory, you call us with your voice to be your people, faithful and courageous. As Jesus embraced his mission in the waters of baptism, inspire us with the Holy Spirit to join in his transforming work. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to a time of silent prayer and meditation. Loving Lord God, hear our prayers. As we come and join with you this morning, you know all of your people. You know those who are suffering. And we lift them up for our awareness and our support. And we offer prayers. And we know that they're experiencing fear from fires. We know that our neighbors are experiencing debilitations from smoke and from disruptions. And we know that there are families displaced and families that have lost loved ones. You know them. You are with them. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil, for thou art with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being with us, for journeying with us, for journeying with all those who are hurting. Thank you for keeping us warm in those days and the days that come, for the coats and sweaters and warm clothing that we're wearing today, the food on our tables, the roofs over our head. We have so much to be thankful for, and we can claim to be your privileged, beloved children. Lord, help us share in our prosperity. Help us be those who are open and loving and caring, who see in every other person a beloved brother, sister, who see in every other person Christ's children, and who in all ways offer the love that Christ offered us. Lord, thank you for gathering us for this place of worship, for the people who give generously of their time and efforts, for the generations that were before us that helped to build this place and establish it. and for your spirit in our midst that allows us to be a Christian family gathered here in your name. Lord, we know that there are individual private prayers that each of us offers. And as we are about offering ours up, we know that you hear them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing each voice and being present with each person. Guide us, inspire us, unsettle us where we have become complacent, heal us where we struggle with illness, and inspire us where we have lost hope, that we might be your people, that we might offer Christ to all the world. Lord, we gather with all of our Christian brothers and sisters around the world in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for your gifts to the church. You know that we need those. We do not offer the plates. It's been years since we offered the plates. We ought to do that one of those these days just for fun. Maybe not today, because we know that the flu and colds are ramping back up again. But thank you for your gifts, for the ways that you support the church. And let's pause while Colleen offers up an offertory.
Thank you, Ms. Blake. Our second scripture reading, please stand if you're able. Our second scripture reading comes from, New Testament, the book of Luke, chapter 3, 15 through 17, and 21 through 22. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat from his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened up. The heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
All right, time for our morning aerobics. Stephanie, it might be you and Holly and Ricky and Ms. Hadley's going to come and help. I don't know who else. Some of you other children. Richard, aren't you a child in heart, Richard? No, I'm just All right. Amen, amen. Michael, I'm going to have you kill the pulpit mic. It's booming. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but I'm on my lavalier. Hopefully, can you still hear? Can you hear me now? Well, that's kind of handy, too, because, see, I can turn around backwards, and you can still hear me. That's kind of, I don't know if that's going to work for this particular application, but it's just something to be aware of. You what? You have a doubt. You have a doubt. I see, and I can understand that. How many of you heard that we developed cold fusion, and it's everybody now has electricity from cold fusion? 1989, two scientists told the world that they had developed cold fusion in their basement, and that it was now revolutionizing the entire energy industry. I have some doubts. 36 years ago, that was, and I don't see it. They had no proof. Turned out, as other scientists looked it over, it just wasn't there. And indeed, it was appropriate. Where's the proof? Can show us the proof. This is a scientific age. That where is the proof stuff has spawned lots of things, and some of them, these theories. The moon landing was faked. People want to know, where's the proof? Well, they say, well, we have moon rocks. People say, well, you can get rocks anywhere. What? How are you going to prove that the moon landing actually happened? And how come we haven't been back? The argument is a hard one to dispel. It's like the argument that my daughter Sarah had when she was in elementary school. We were riding bikes one day, and I mentioned that the presidential race was coming up and that there was a woman who must have been Ferraro, Geraldine Ferraro, is that right? Back in the time, she was candidate for a vice president. And she said, women can't be president. I said, sure they can. And she says, has there ever been one? Boy, she had me. How many years ago is that, and we still haven't changed that? So where's the proof? Where's the proof with global warming and climate change? That's a hard one to deal with, isn't it? And in this modern Christian, in this modern scientific age, Christianity and religions are struggling because the people are saying, where's the proof? Prove God to me. Prove all of these things to me. And the criticism is continuing to grow, not abate. And people of faith are fading, although fewer people may be going to church, but I'm not sure that the number of people that believe is fading. I have found in my journeys that people may not be religious, but they do believe in God. I don't know. I'm not a statistician. I'm just tossing it out there for us to contemplate. But I'm going to offer you up a couple of interesting things to just put these in front of you. First off, scripture from Mark 15. This is verses 20 and following. Jesus has been tried and been scourged, and after mocking Jesus, the guards stripped him of the purple cloth. The guards stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to be crucified. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. You remember that passage in Mark? It's an odd one. Why would you pause and say, it was the father of Alexander and Rufus? They were in Mark's congregation. The earworthy two sons of the man Simon, and they were there. They were witnesses through their father of this event. This is a historical mark. This is a vignette of something that happened, and for that first congregation, here was first person witnesses through their father. That's an important thing to note. Proof of Christ's crucifixion. It has been recorded through different places, but there's another place that's interesting. Mark 1. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. That's where we are. This is baptism of Christ Sunday. This is the talking about that baptism event. And if you were on the public relations committee for Jesus, this is one of those scriptures you would try not to lift because it's a problem. Here's John. You've heard about John. He's this wild man living out in the wilderness. He has left society and he's kind of going out there. He has a horsehair belt and he eats locusts and honey, and you can imagine his hair is wild, no beard is wild. Just a wild character out in the wilderness, and people are following him. He's developed a movement of sorts. This Johannine movement is underway. And Jesus comes to him to be baptized. Well, if we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, this is upside down. John can't baptize Jesus. So if you're on the public relations team for Jesus and company, you don't want to have to deal with this theological problem. So why would we include it in the Gospels? It doesn't help it. In fact, it really makes us scratch our heads and wonder what's going on there. But people remembered it. There were first-person witnesses that remembered Jesus coming, gathering with the group, with John, and that John baptized him in the water. This is history, not theology, not myth, but reality. Proof. Now, these are only a couple of things, and the baptism of Jesus and this stuff that happens around that, Matthew and Luke, they mention, but they kind of skirt around it. And by the time you get to John, he doesn't even talk about anything except that John, that Jesus came, he was in the beginning with God, and nothing was in the beginning that was not with God, and he was in the beginning the Word, the Logos. Because theologically, they're trying to understand who this man was, this Jesus. We live in a fascinating time in history. I'm trying to think. I got to go to Disneyland with the kids when they were littler. Good Lord, that's probably 25 years ago. But we were walking around the park, and this dinosaur walks by us. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. It was, well, you know, walking, and the dinosaur would turn and talk and carry on, and it had a little kid's voice, and the little kids were running up to it and carrying on, and it was obviously a machine. And as the scientist in me started looking around, I found the person over in the corner who was running it, had a little pack with direction things and a microphone so that he could speak and respond to the children and everything. The kids were loving it. That was 25 years ago today, somewhere in that range. Today we have dinosaurs. We have people from Avatar that are real. We have Star Trek has been to the beyond, to space and beyond. I'm losing my brain this morning. Is it obvious? Pray for me. We have computer-generated graphics. And some of that is so amazing that it just slays me. And artificial intelligence coming around now, and deep fakes. They can take a person and put whole different words in them. I saw a film of Forrest Gump with President Kennedy. Did you see that? Did any of you see that? I was pretty, if you haven't seen Forrest Gump, there's a wonderful scene where Forrest is with the president, and the only... The funny part of it all is that he's had too much Dr. Pepper, and they're standing in the ceremony, and he needs to go to the bathroom. So, Forrest Gump for you. But we see this film, and you can imagine that this could be real. You see it with your own eyes, proof. But we know, and we can unpack some of that. But there are no loopholes when there was none of that in the day. These proofs that I've offered you, people saw the baptism. They witnessed it. They were aware of what happened and made note of it. Have you seen baptisms? Have you seen baptisms of people that you knew? Do you remember the event? I do. I remember specific events. I remember specific families, and I've done quite a few baptisms. I don't remember all of them, perhaps, but many, many, many. And the important ones you do remember. And the people remembered. And these brothers, Alexander and Rufus, they were there to tell the story about their father, Simon of Cyrene. He was coming in from the country, and they just grabbed him and says, here, carry the cross for this man going to be crucified. Proofs. Some things are seared in our memory pretty firmly. Some of you might be of the generation that remember Pearl Harbor. That's before my time. I remember John F. Kennedy the day he was shot. Seared in my memory. I remember it, vignettes of it distinctly. Do you, some of you? 9/11. We could sit and have a conversation. Where were you when you heard? Do you remember that day? For me, the Japanese tsunami, and when it struck and killed tens of thousands of Japanese people, destroying entire communities, it was a graphic memory seared into my mind. So these memories of these people who saw Jesus being baptized, and of the sons and the families, these are not made up. These are memories. And in them, we can read proof. Why would John baptize Jesus? We hear John's disclaimer at the beginning of this. There's one coming that is greater than me. I am just a stepping stone, And in fact, we know historically looking back and thinking about how history ties together, the prophets had told us that Elijah would come again before the coming of the Messiah. And so Jesus alludes to John being Elijah, who came before him. And here is this problem of John baptizing Jesus, this wild man, this prophet, but Jesus, the Messiah. So theologically, questions. But reality, proof. Proof. In the Isaiah passage that James read for us, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. And I had to just stop, and I had to think about my sermon and what to do with that, and whether maybe to change the scripture, because the imagery and the fires in California right now, it's painful. It's horrible, and it's a frightening thing. It's reminding us of some of the events of Colorado and the smoke and the debilitation and the fear. But God did not abandon the people in the fires in California. God is with them. In life, in death, in life again, God is with us, and we have nothing to fear. God does not, will not abandon us. That should get an amen. Amen? So living or dying, we're with the Lord. The Lord is with us, and we are safe from all those harms. Floods, fires, traffic accidents, violence, whatever they may be. So this sermon is about doubt and about the doubts that come in our society today. People find out you go to church, they say, well, how do you still believe in God? Look around at the world around you. How do you believe in God? We believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, that came and taught us about God. And we can believe in that because we have some proofs. And you should relax and be able to express those one to another and to others who ask. These odd things that happen in the Bible that are inconvenient to the text, but they reflect on actual events that occurred. You see, there really was a man named Jesus. We have proof, not only from the scriptural accounts here, but from other religions who are not in favor of, but who acknowledged this Jewish prophet and the gathering that had followed him. I don't have those. I used to be able to cite them, but I'm getting older and, you know, I'm gray, and you can just trust me. And I would have given you the citation and you wouldn't have cared anyway. But there are other texts and other religions. There are other historians who acknowledge this interesting prophet that was in Jerusalem, that was doing things, and who died through crucifixion. There is no doubt of his existence. Now, Jesus must have acknowledged that. He must have known that people will begin to doubt, things will begin to change over time. And so he instituted that ceremony that we do, the communion. This is my body, this is my bread, this is my blood. These are real. I was real, I walked among you. I am he who appeared in human flesh. So acknowledge that Jesus is real, and you can lean on that with people. You know, if people want to argue about stuff, we believe by faith much of our religion, much of what we do, what we're about, and that's okay. We believe it through faith, but there are things that we know that we can prove. The proof of Jesus Christ, this man who walked the earth, who ministered, who healed, who cared, who changed society and the world. So, Everything else is going amiss. The lights have been misbehaving this morning. The sound system was misbehaving. Pia's car misbehaved on the way here. One of the tires said, nope, I'm not willing. I don't know how the Broncos are doing, but there may be good news or bad news there. Doesn't matter. All of the things that are in turmoil in our lives, trust and do not doubt in Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, I'm going to quit before anything else breaks. Let's stand and sing. James, you want to lead? I'll lead. Whoever. Or Richard? Get up here, Richard. You're on the back of the bulletin. I mean, look. Morning has broken. I'll try and find it in the hymnal for you by the time you get up here. Stand, if you will, all of you. Colleen, we're going to have to give him time to get up here. And Mike, you're going to have to transition back to the pulpit and off of the wireless. Testing, testing. Still on me. It's one of those mornings, I'm telling you guys. This is the morning when everything that could go wrong has gone wrong.
Well, not yet.
Not yet. There's still a little hope left, huh?
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the praise for them springing, fresh from the word. Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the sprung in completeness.
Good job, princess.
Where his feet pass.
Your steps there. Okay.
Mine is the sunlight. Mine is the morning. Born of the one light. Eden saw play. Praise with elation. Praise every creation of the new day.
Now let's see if the microphone's still on. It is it still there, Michael? Amazing. It didn't break. Richard, you were right. There was hope. And on this morning, in this beginning of January of 2025, it's not the first Sunday, but and we're early in the year. There's hope. Share the love of Christ in your hearts with those around you in the name of God. Amen?
Amen.
Join hands. Let's sing our closing. God's people said, amen. Amen.